I am fine, and there's just a little bit of sunshine peeking through, and otherwise looks like a little bit of cloud up there. However, we know that spring is on its way. We already know because we see the squirrels running around, and we've seen the ground squirrels popping out, so let's get ready. But I believe we'll still have some snow and ice before it gets here. What do you think?
No, I'm going to think the opposite. I'm going to in the groundhog we trust. And I'm going to put out the milk and cookies, even some beer tomorrow night for, you know, Groundhog Eve. That's a big deal. I want him on my side, Marty. I want that rodent to come out and say, you know what, you guys treated me so nicely. Let's just move on with spring, and I'll go back to taking a nap there. Well, we've had plenty of rain, 6 inches of that. We will change the calendar tomorrow. We know the legislative session is happening at the House. And before we get to all that fun stuff, we need to remind folks, if they are going to join the primary this year, they need to do so by Friday, is it February 9th, Marty, or the 8th? It's coming up right around the corner.
Wow, I don't have that date in front of me, but yes, it's like, do it now, folks, do it now. So I have to get over there and sign up to be precinct chairman again if that's something I want to do. But those are things that we all have to keep an eye on and make sure we don't miss that deadline, because once it's gone, and they can't bring it back. That's
nope.
For sure.
And we do have some races that are starting to, obviously, fill up a little bit, some contested races. Two of the three county commissioners will be running as well. How many county council people, Marty, are up for re-election this time around?
Well, there's three. However, one is not going to be running because it's like that we had the districts last time. I'm in a district. This time it's the ones at large. So there's three at large. And so it's Cheryl Munson and Trent Deckard and Jeff McKim. But Jeff McKim is not running again, so Dave Henry is running for hoping to get a spot there at large. And there was one other one that I was told about, but I don't have that name memorized. So it was one I had not heard before.
Somebody else getting involved in all of the
right
process.
I was told that there's one, so that it's going to be a challenge in there because you can only have three. Now, and then in the fall, if a Republican should sign up to run for county council, it will be the top three, and they have to be voted on separately. So,
and these are at-large seats. That means everybody in the county can vote for this. It's not the person running for it has to be in the certain district. I think I have that right.
Well, no, actually, this isn't district. This is at-large, and it doesn't matter where you run, wherever, because you're running at-large.
Gotcha. So you don't have to live in any certain area. Okay.
No, it's not. It's like I ran in the district, and only the ones in my district could vote for that slot. And for the at large, they can run, and they don't have to be in one district or the other. That's different from the county commissioners. The county commissioners have to live in a certain area.
Uh-huh.
That district is running. And so we know that Lee Jones was in there for District 1 before, but now we've got 2 and 3. And so you have to live in that spot to run, but it will just be everybody in the county will vote for that slot for county commissioner, no matter where they live. Both of those slots for county commissioner will be on the ballot for everyone to vote on.
Gotcha. Penny Githens will face off against former Bloomington City Councilman Steve Volan. That's a contested primary. And who is the other one that's running? Julie Thomas has not filed yet, according to the Herald Times article from Monday. Is she in now?
I'm told that she is going to be running, and her opponent and in the primary will be Peter Iverson, who is on the county council. So if he should win that primary, then there would be a caucus, the Democrat caucus, to fill the slot on the county council, where he, because he is serving in a district, and so if he should be successful in his run for the county commissioner slot in the primary, then they, let me see, he could see, they, it's only if he wins in the fall that they would then have to have the caucus and replace him.
Gotcha. So the primary doesn't matter in that sense until the final November. Then the musical chairs.
And that's the reason why many times you'll see somebody who's sitting, already sitting in a seat that they know they're not going to lose, so they can go ahead and run for another slot. And
yeah, there's no loss per se.
Yeah, right.
Interesting.
So that's the reason why you see a lot of musical chairs during this time.
Marty, you have to be early voting is going to start on April 9th, and I think everybody has to be on the ballot, all the official paperwork filled out and ready to go early days of February. I'm scanning for that date right now, and I can't find it either. I figured that would have been something. Maybe I've just overlooked it, but I think it's February 8th or 9th. 9th is a Friday. That would make a little bit more sense to me. So there we go. We'll keep everybody updated on that. Any other races that are going to be contested that we know about right now? Or I saw, what are we doing with, we have the treasurer, auditor, that's all moving around, kind of?
Right. The person who was the auditor is now, was caucused in to finish out this year of treasurer. And we don't know as yet who the next auditor is going to be, but as I understand it, the only one who signed up for that is Brianna Gregory, who is the financial director in the auditor's office now. And that slot, that's going to be coming up very soon. They'll be having a caucus for that, and that decision will be made. So, and but they, all that is they will just finish up this year, and they'll still have to be running for the next year's slot.
Clear as mud. But once that ballot gets put together in the primary and we know early voting will start on April 9th, we will have a, whenever that deadline is, we will know who is on the ballot, and then we will move on from there. So we'll figure that out as we move forward. What else is making news that we need to know about here locally, Marty? I know you've been following development and workforce housing and slope issues and where can we build and zoning issues and all the other fun things that go along with that. Are you getting any help at the State House?
Well, I'm certainly trying, and they're very responsive. It's just so good to talk with my friends at the State House to say, look, you know, nobody wants to do anything that would hurt our water supply, and actually I think that bill, the slope restriction bill, covers us on that, because they're saying if you're in that area that it would be going into that water. So I think we're covered on that. But I'm going to tell you, I'm hearing from so many people that they want this to be put in place, and it seems to me the people who don't want that, and they want it to stay as it is now, they just don't want to see any development out as much as could happen out in the county. I have spent a lot of time recently trying to get people to understand that if we don't see new housing starts in this county, then that will cause the assessed value for all of the property that's sitting there, especially in that entry-level price range, to continue to grow, because the markets will be there and there's nothing, no competition for it. So it will be either that the house will be outpriced for a whole lot of people, especially with the interest rates going on as they are, or we will have more and more people who will opt to move out of this county. And this is, like, county government should be really concerned about that, because that income tax money is how we operate county government. A huge slice of our operating money comes from that income tax. And remember, that income tax stays in the county where you live, not where you work. So it makes a big, big difference. And I'm hoping that people will understand. And not only that, we have got to do something to extend our ability to hook onto the sewer system, because it's hard to have the additional growth that we need in housing starts if we don't have sewer systems running out there. I guess you could have like the package systems and so forth that some have discussed, but we're just hoping that we can get some kind of resolution to get more sewers running out. And it is no wonder that we're seeing the kind of explosion of growth in the Ellisville area, because those people in the planning and zoning in the Ellisville area are much more welcoming to our home builders to go there to build housing for our residents. And so there are just a lot of people who say, well, I'd like to have a new home, and I'm happy to move over to Ellisville. I can get a house that I really like, and I like the school system there, et cetera. So it's just fine with me. I'll just move over that direction. And since I love Ellisville myself, I can see why that would be a really good option.
Well, and we need workforce housing, Marty, whether it's here, there, or anywhere else. There's just not enough cans to kick down the road at some point. How important is the building association and things like that of trying to, do they try to lobby? Who do they talk to here to loosen some of these regulations? Or is this an annexation problem that's carrying over? How do we get this fixed?
Okay, I think you nailed it, a couple of things. I mean, because the home builders certainly want it fixed. They're not liking what's going on at the county level. I'm not so sure that they'll like a whole lot difference at the city level. But those of us who would like to make sure that we understand we have to have workforce housing, we have to have it one way or the other. So it's my hope that there'll be people who love this county to get together to say, how can we encourage the county folks to welcome new housing starts and in every price range. This should not just be for low income or middle income. It should be every price range, because workforce housing is not, we should be very clear, they use the term workforce housing, but it's every price range that is needed. And when you have the interest rates that were so low, we've got to remember that the taxes that we are paying for this year coming up, 2024, is tied to what that assessed value was of your home in 2022. Because
it's all retro, right.
Is because they determine what it is in 2022. They send out the Form 11 in the beginning of 2023. Somewhere in the early spring, we should be getting out another one for this year. And that is the dollar amount that they use for your assessed value then of the taxes you'll be paying this year. Now, what happened was the rate-controlled funds, like your CUM funds and referendum funds or whatever, that goes against your total your assessed value. And once it's been adjusted, you don't get your homestead, you get your supplemental, but at any rate, it will go against that assessed value. And so that's why, even though that regular property tax has what we call a frozen levy, those rate control funds are not frozen, and so those rates continue to tax you more and more the more your assessed value grows. Whether you've done anything to your house or not, maybe, you know, a lot of other people have sold in your neighborhood and they're selling for a higher price point because the interest rates were so low. And we know that 2022, those values were still increasing over 2021.
Right. And they should increase if we keep building and growing, correct?
Well, the individual taxes of the individual property, existing property, might not grow to the extent if they had some competition. In other words, we need assessed value growth of new housing starts to assist everybody else paying the freight.
Okay.
That's how we can.
So I guess it's even another reason to keep building and developing.
Well, I mean, we know that anywhere you go, we are counting on, specifically, we're counting on income tax to support county government, and we're counting on property tax to support county government. So those two things, and it's a huge amount with the income tax. We know that we were counting on the edit tax to help pay for the jail, which is going to have to happen. And if that annexation should go through, that a big chunk of that edit money, that economic development money, will go over to the city, leaving less money for the county to pay for a jail. So that would just mean that somewhere those dollars have to come from to support building that new jail. And they're moving forward on that. Already we know that our sheriff has already said they had to have some additional money in to help pay for transportation and to move some of those inmates over to other facilities. And there's a per diem of $35 a day for that. But it's a whole lot more than that because it's a transportation cost. If you transport an individual, an inmate, from our facility to another facility, then you're going to have personnel, law enforcement, there in that transport to transport that inmate. And then you're going to have to go back to this other facility and pick up that inmate and bring him back to meet with the judge and so forth. So these are reasons why we just cannot just continue on with the amount of criminal activity in this county that seems to be brought on more and more, having to do with the population that are more criminal transients or those who are addicted to drugs or mental health issues. That population continues to grow in this county, and they have to go someplace. Now, right now, it just seems like there's a big, you know, round, you know, go in, you're right back out before you even get settled.
Is this a seasonal issue, Marty, or is this an issue?
It's a far greater issue now. Whatever kind of drug is moving about the population, it is a very strong drug. It's a dangerous drug, and it's causing real behavior problems. I don't think you'll find anybody who's following along who won't say that we have a bigger problem now than we've had in, well, I don't know when. I mean, I think all you have to do is look at the news and know that's the case.
Well, we should build a 2,000-bed jail the next time around then, because just what it's going to need at some point. Well, that's the chicken and the egg to a degree.
You might encourage some of the people to go back to their home counties and let's take down the welcome sign. The more you provide them housing, you provide them food, you provide them the free needles, you provide them transportation. I can understand why people who are involved in the drug situation would want to live here.
Who makes all of these decisions that seem to cater to that way of life or skating around? Or who provides all this? Is that government? Is it private sources? Is it non-for-profits? When we talk about all of us being in here together, where's the hot potato land and who gets a seat when the music stops?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of people who would like to be involved in trying to work out this problem. I think that, you know, the courts need to move this forward a little quicker. We need to have the prosecutor who will be, you know, getting things done there. Whatever we're doing, it's not as best we could do, certainly, because why are we one of only 8 counties in the entire state that has this free needle program? I think somebody should take a look to see the the counties that dropped the needle program, do we have, did those folks all just start coming here to Monroe County? Or maybe that doesn't have anything to do with it all.
Right.
But there has to be a reason why we are one of only eight.
That's a good point.
And really, you know, I guess I'm speaking out of frustration. I've just, every time
well,
I
you're
look
to.
At the...
You're allowed ahead, to be frustrated. Yeah, you're allowed to be frustrated.
It's just that when we look at in our sheriff's department and our jail department, they all are working so hard to improve what they have to work with to make it the best it can be until we can do something else better with more space and more revenue to assist them. But they are up against it. I mean, they constantly having more and more individuals placed in the jail that is just, it's just not sustainable. It just is not. So
no, and I don't think taxpayers are going to say, hey, well, sure, I'll kick in a couple extra grand to make a 2,500 bed prison complex here locally because nobody wants it in their backyard. Nobody wants to pay taxes. Nobody wants to do any of that.
Well, and of course, I'm not speaking about anywhere near that amount, but I do think that we should work really hard to make sure that our neighboring counties and neighboring states take care of their own problems and quit making it easy for those folks to come here.
Well, the reason they do that is they don't have the resources to handle it. Is that what it comes down to?
Why do they want a problem at their house?
Right. There you go. Well,
it's easier. Monroe County loves it. They'll be happy to sign on the dotted line. Hey, they're even getting ready to build new housing for them. I mean, when we have people who are going out and going to work hard every day and they're having their taxes increased and that is going right back out the door to help provide housing for the folks who are coming in from wherever, And we're saying, well, we really need to provide housing for everyone. Well, that's lovely, but everyone then has to help pay the tab.
Pay the freight. That's right, Marty. All right, well, we will new month. Maybe the sunshine will help us out. Maybe we will hear some good stuff from the state. We'll fill the ballot up as well coming up here in the next few days. And we know you'll keep us intact. Where is the council, county council at? What is on your February agenda, or what should we be following here locally?
Well, the county council, I don't know how many are going. I know I'll be going up to the state, the Association of Indiana Counties Legislative Day. That's the 6th and 7th. I'll be going with the county assessor is going to be taking one of the county cars up there, and I'm going to be going along so that we can see any updates in legislation. I know that there's a lot there going on, some which will change, they're trying to change how the distribution of the public safety tax would go so that they could take any request off the top and the city could approve it because they have control of that income tax council, and whatever request that would be approved would all come out of the county's portion, and so the county better be watching that pretty close. I think that's Senate Bill 33. And, of course, we're continuing to watch having to do with the property tax legislation as well as the income tax legislation because in that, I think it's 1121, where they are continuing on for one more year how the vote distribution will be for that income tax council. There's just so much going on. It's just hard to keep up, but I wish Dave Hall all the best on his 1108. I think it's a number having to do with slope restrictions. Of course, no one's saying that we should build no matter what the slope is, but there are those who understand that we would never have a walkout basement type house or any kind of a bi-level, or certainly my house wouldn't be allowed to have been built when you're stuck with just a 15% slope restriction. And so this legislation says that the number should be more like 25% rather than 15%, allowing more growth, more workforce housing, and the ability to keep the residents living right here in Monroe County, if all you're looking at is the money to run county government, you're going to want those residents to stay here and keep that income tax coming in to Monroe County.
All right, Marty, great job as always. Enjoy the big Groundhog Day celebration on Friday, and we'll get caught up with you next week.
Okay, great. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.